questions, just relax and answer them as simply as you can.
You're listening to Novum, a podcast about science fiction and science fiction's impact on society. I'm Ari Brin. So I just finished reading a recent science fiction novel, and it made me realize that there are really some new and exciting things happening in the fields. It's a 2014 novel written by Michael Faber called The Book of Strange New Things. The story involves a Christian missionary who is sent on a mission to another planet in order to spread the intergalactic message of Jesus. I was a big fan of this novel. It made me cry. I enjoyed how it dealt with the ideas of alien perception and how through contact with the seductive unknown, we become isolated from our past life. I was continually reminded that this is a well-treaded ground for science fiction. Certainly, the idea of a missionary sent to visit alien worlds has already been explored in Mary Doria Russell's 1996 The Sparrow and James Blish's 1958 A Case of Conscience. In these stories and several others, religious convictions are tested under alien influence. Moral questions arise about whether it's right to impose or spread human religion to non-human beings. But these works only hint at a larger presence of religion in science fiction. While reading this novel, I asked myself, if religion and science are in opposition, and science fiction extrapolates on scientific thought, then why does religion pop up so often in the genre? And I'm not just talking about as a force of opposition. Let's say the brilliant scientist who is foiled by the religious government or the evil minister. Today, I'd like to talk about science fiction that adopts as its novum the concept of God being real. And science fiction that makes its question, what if religion were true? This is surely a tricky topic for science fiction to handle, but it has, time and time again. From the earliest science fiction, we've been using, rather than rejecting, religion to fit a reformed view of the universe. Think Frankenstein. Science fiction often proposes that men could become gods through harnessing the power of creation. And that could just as easily support the idea of a godlike figure above us, just as easily as it could demolish it. It makes sense that science fiction would be interested in existing theology as a plausible explanation for our universe. The new challenge is to rationalize, to explain religious ideas within a scientific framework. After all, isn't all SF a search for meaning? Doesn't the best of science fiction and religion ask our purpose in the universe? Let's explore this together. Let's find out what would happen if God turned out to be real. Let's first talk about Arthur C. Clarke. I'd argue that he exemplifies the connection between science fiction and religion. He makes a great case that the two spheres can overlap and support a singular worldview. Also, he's one of my favorite authors and one of the undisputed masters of hard SF. Clarke developed an interest in science and astrology at a young age. He served in World War II as a radar specialist, and he later earned degrees in both physics and mathematics. Like many other hard SF authors, like Asimov, Clark really worked in science, publishing in the field and conducting inventive research in the field of science. In Sri Lanka, a place where he would eventually spend the rest of his life, Clark excelled at scuba diving. He lost an eardrum while discovering the lost underwater ruins of the Hindu temple, Kanaswaram. This was just one example in his lifetime of discovery. Clark cursed in his later days that he never secured a patent for his invention of the geostationary satellite. In 1974, on an Australian talk show, he accurately predicted the internet and the age of PC computers to an uncannily accurate degree. You can watch the taped black and white interview online today while living out a literal expression of Clark's 40-year-old futurist musing. For an atheist, Arthur C. Clarke had an extraordinary fascination with God. It is one of similar similarities between him and Isaac Asimov, another atheist science fiction author, who hypothesized in his story Reason from 1941 that robots might adopt religious explanations as the most rational explanation for their existence. Clarke does not villainize characters whose lives are guided most by belief. His most powerful stories involve scientists attempting to rationalize their knowledge of an unbiased universe with the seeming bias of a malevolent God presence. Clark uses a God in many of his stories, either to describe a God presently known in Earth's mythology, or to simplify the presence of a super advanced God-like alien species. In either case, God characters wield extreme power through Clark's body of work. The fate of Earth's inhabitants is often decided by the whims of a superior extraterrestrial. And perhaps that's what God is. In these cases, the label of God or alien is virtually interchangeable. When he was not creating his own theological frameworks, Clark explored the consequences of religious worldviews turning out to be true. Clark's short story, The Star, from 1954, is a worthy place to start in the discussion of this question. The story is narrated by a Jesuit astrophysicist on an exploratory mission to the site of an ancient supernova. On a distant, Pluto-like planet of this solar system, his crew finds a vault of cultural and scientific knowledge left unscathed by the star's violent death. The Jesuit is profoundly moved by the rich Earth-like culture of this long-dead civilization and their relatable efforts towards remembrance. He experiences a deep crisis of convictions when he calculates the age of the supernova event and finds that it signified the beginning of his own faith. A quotation from the story.
Oh God, there were so many stars you could have used. What was the need to give these people to the fire, that the symbol of their passing might shine above Bethlehem?
The star presents a doomed culture with its last act, the preservation of its cultural achievements, in hope of the planet one day being discovered and their civilization celebrated. This fight for preservation is a rare theme in Clark's works. More often, the doomed civilizations of Earth show passivity in their fate and surrender to a destiny that is prescribed to them by foreign gods. The star's interaction with the Catholic God is by far not his most zealous placement of a god as a real superior being to humans. The god of the Tibetan monastery in Clark's The 9 Billion Names of God quietly brandishes power to put out the very stars in Earth's skies. In the story, a commune of monks asks to be provided with a computer to help fulfill what they believe to be God's ultimate wish, which is to calculate all of God's 9 billion names. Well, a couple of Westerners show up to install this computer. Of course, they think the whole matter is hogwash, but they're getting paid. They delay the process because they know it will turn out to be a failure, enough so that the calculations finish just as they are walking away from the monastery. As it turns out, the Tibetans were correct. The Westerners look up, mid-departure, and notice that overhead, without any fuss, the stars were going out. In contrast to the star, the protagonist of the 9 billion names of God is a skeptic, who does not believe in the existence of superior beings in the universe. In both stories, God is a literal presence, creator and destroyer of the world. Clark was keen on asking, what if God were real? He also was a fan of creating his own theologies that nicely played with and challenged existing religious frameworks. Let's take Clark's most famous novel, Childhood's End, from 1953. Certainly, Childhood's End plays with Christian imagery and ideology. Basically, aliens arrive on Earth and they hover over key cities in huge spaceships. Yes, this image has become an enormous cliche. From these ships, the aliens, or the overlords, impose a benevolent takeover of Earth's various governments. Under their rule, Earth is turned into somewhat of a utopia. The aliens allow none to see their physical form, although eventually they promise that once a few generations of humans have passed under their rule, and humanity has become accustomed to their benign presence, they'll come down to Earth and show themselves. I really can't describe how masterfully this reveal is handled by Clark. If I were you, I'd read this novel immediately. If you haven't, I'll try to avoid spoilers as best as possible. All I can say is that the form of the overlords immediately proves the foresight and accuracy of religion in predicting our species' future. It's a disturbing, evocative idea. Beyond that, the true objective of the overlords is unclear at first. But it becomes apparent that these beings serve as guides for species like humans who have the potential to join the Overmind, a celestial, immaterial presence that rules over the universe. And the Overmind shows up in so many Clark stories in one form or another that I can't even begin to list them. In the face of this revealed hierarchy of the universe, the overlords congratulate Earth's early mystics, who succeeded where science could not, in predicting a piece of the true order of the world. Yes, there are also Ouija boards in this story. It's overall quite mystical and religious, although Clark later argued that this was a partial misinterpretation. But you read it and decide for yourself. Clark's works adhere to the scientific and physical principles of the universe. Yet they use the vast unknowable setting of space for a sort of religious speculation. Clark continually asks about human destiny. What is our place within the universe? Clark embraced religion as having seen a sort of truth in the fabric of the universe. He seemed to believe in this theological-based hierarchy of life, within which we currently rank pretty low, and as do most physical beings. And very evolved beings, such as the Overmind, have done away with their physical bodies and individualities. Clark also believed in mobility, the ability of humans to become gods. From Childhood's End to 2001: A Space Odyssey, it's clear our species is on the brink of becoming something more than human. It's the next step in evolution. The question is when, and when the time comes to become gods. Will we be willing to give up what makes us human? As hard as it is to move on from Arthur C. Clarke, we must. I'd love to quickly explore just a couple more examples of God in science fiction. If these pique your interest, and I think they will, you can feel free to explore them on your own time. There are plenty of SF works that operate so much in assuming the existence of God that I begin to ask, is this even science fiction? Possibly the best example of this is James Morrow's Towing Jehovah. This was published in 1994, and it would eventually become the first in the Godhead trilogy. I read this novel actually just this year, heard a brief summary of it, and I was so taken by the idea of the story. It was just so incredibly evocative. Basically, God is dead, and his 2-mile-long corpse is found floating in the Atlantic Ocean. A host of dying angels visit Earth and convince the Vatican to take immediate action to preserve the decaying body. The Vatican hires a disgraced ship captain and a crew to tow God's corpse into a massive grave in the Arctic. This serves a dual purpose: to hide the body and hopefully prevent widespread theological panic, and hopefully postpone the decay of God's brain cells, so perhaps cryogenic experimentation can commence. There's another problem. God's body, it's what you'd expect it to look like, aka male, white, with a long beard. He's also naked. This is obviously a huge blow to feminists and other races and ethnicities, not to mention atheists and other religions. It's horrifying enough that a group of rational thinkers plan a terrorist strike to sink the enormous corpse and thus destroy the evidence. This novel is so wonderfully weird and heretical and disturbing that I'd recommend an immediate read, mostly because it's a great conversation starter. But I'm not sure where to place it. I'd say it's science fiction because it's been taken seriously within SF circles. It was nominated for the Hugo, Nebula, and Arthur C. Clarke Awards, which seems appropriate. Also, it contains substantive debate about the challenge of accepting this body as the truth. What does God's body say about evolution, for example? What about the fact that there is a physical body at all? Morrow handles the topics in Towing Jehovah with scientific skill. But is this enough to make it science fiction? Ultimately, Towing Jehovah doesn't provide sufficient answers to the questions it so revels in asking. It's a different sort of work entirely than that of Clarke. It's a bit closer to Vonnegut in the way that it handles satire. But it's similar in other respects. Morrow obviously enjoys confronting rational thinkers as characters, with a possibility horrifying to many, that God is real. Yet, in the same breath as exposing God as real, Morrow has already killed him. If you're interested in this topic, in the intersection of God and science fiction, there's plenty to explore. I'm sure a lot of academic research has already been conducted on this topic, and there are lists online if you would like one. Roger Zelazny's Lord of Light and Michael Moorcock's Behold the Man are two novels that concern themselves with religious mythology. The latter especially deals with the Christian religion. A man time travels in hopes of meeting the real Jesus, and he succeeds, is not who the time traveler expects him to be. And the reality of Jesus' life takes a deeply shocking turn, giving the time traveler a front row seat of inaccuracies and hideous side of religion. While religious believers would no doubt find Behold the Man controversial, or even sacrilegious, the novel also gives the myth of Jesus credence. It may not have happened the way that the Bible says, but Moorcock insinuates that it happened nonetheless. It's a very interesting usage for science fiction. It's kind of weird that even the presence of other creatures within the universe, even when the workings of the known world can be readily explained by physics, even when evolution breaks the concept of a wise, white, male god, it comes back around to religion. Religion, I suppose, is a simply unavoidable topic, no matter the genre. It commands too much fascination. And maybe it forever will. That's it for our show today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Maybe it introduced you to something new, a new book, it made you think, or maybe I just provided company for a little part of your day. If you would like to leave me a comment on either Facebook or Podomatic, please don't hesitate. As for me, I'll catch you next time on NoFoam.